Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is so good to us. I thank you for His presence. Amen. The hope we have in Him. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to try to share the word of the Lord this evening. My voice has not recovered from the weekend. And we're just going to do the best we can. Amen. I'm not used to, it's been a long time since I've preached that much, and my voice is not used to it. I preach Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, twice Sunday, and it's just not used to that kind of action. I pray God will just help us. Amen. You'll take your Bibles and you'll go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 19. I can't get away from this, just the thoughts of, like Brother Wood says, I haven't tried to get away from it, but just the fact that God wants us to draw closer to Him.
Yes,
God wants us to draw closer to Him. And just, I shared quite a bit about that in Fayetteville and here, and just, God just wants us to fall in love with Him in a greater and great depths. Amen. And I believe as things get worse in this, with iniquity and things, it's going to take the strong to make it spiritually. And if we're not have a determination and our minds made up and holding on to God and drawing closer to Him, those are just hanging on by a string. It's going to break.
Yes, right.
They're not going to make it. Amen. And we got to be strong. We got to hold fast. And we got to draw closer to the Lord every day. We can't wait till the problems come, the big problems come to draw closer to God. We got to do it now. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say amen to God's word.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You believe that day is approaching?
Oh, yes.
Praise God. Glory to His name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I am excited about serving God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the passage of Scripture that we read this evening. And verse 19. And just want to, again, tonight encourage us to draw closer to God. To draw closer to God and what it will take for us to do that. A lot of times we don't really realize what we've got, church. We really don't realize the blessings that we have. We have more today for us than the Old Testament saints had. And a lot of times we don't really understand and really grasp the benefits and the promises and just the privileges that God has given to us as saints today. A lot of things, times we take it for granted. But the Lord has blessed us and we don't really realize what took place on Calvary. It was more than just our sins being forgiven. There was a lot more to that, church, than just salvation. A lot of things happened on that cross for us today that gave us a lot of benefits and for us today to have, church. that we need to be thankful for and rejoice in the Lord. We have got a lot of things today to thank God for that the Old Testament saints did not have. And we need to rejoice in them. We need to realize how good God is to us and what we really have. You know, I've seen with antiques and things that people may have up in their attic. They may have in a back closet somewhere. And they don't really know the value of it until they go to an appraiser and have it appraised. And they find out that it's worth thousands of dollars. And they didn't realize. They just thought it was something simple that their family passed down through to them. And they come realize it was worth thousands of dollars. I heard just on the radio this evening on the way to church that someone had bought something at a yard sale for $3. And it was a piece of ivory carved out. I'm not sure. I didn't catch that. Just got the tail end of it. But he had bought it at a yard sale for $3. Come to find out, he had it appraised and it was worth $2.2 million. And that there is something that people that sold that at the yard sale didn't realize what they had. Amen. And praise God. I imagine if they heard about it, they're probably weeping right now that they just let $2.2 million go away for $3. And we as saints don't realize what we've got, church, and what God has done for us on the cross. And let's look a little bit, a couple things that the Lord has done for us. He tells us in verse 19 that having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Psalmist David puts it this way, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Well, this is a benefit that we have that the Old Testament saints did not have, church. We have the privilege to go into the Holy of Holies. He tells us, having therefore brought in boldness, a surety, a confidence that we can go into the presence of God. The early church did not have that honor. They had to go through the priests and the sacrifices. You know all this and how everything had to be just right and the priest had to do everything just right. And when he went in, if he didn't, he would fall down dead. But the common people, if I could put it that way, did not have the privilege of going in to the presence of God as the priest did, and as we have today. He tells us that we have this privilege, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you really realize and understand what that means for us to be able to go right into the presence of God? It's more than just be able to go right in and ask for forgiveness of our sins and receive salvation. We do have that privilege. We do have that benefit. We know what it is for our sins to be gone, to be cast into the sea, to never be brought back to remembrance. We know what that is. The Old Testament saints didn't even understand or was able to have that privilege that we have today. The blood of the lambs covered their sins, but our sins are gone. They're never brought back to remembrance. They're gone. Christ and His power refuses to remember them anymore. So we have that privilege, church, that we are have salvation, they're gone. But it's more than that. It's more than just that. I can now go right directly to God. I can directly go to Him. And I can make my petitions known right to God. I don't have to go through a chain of people. I don't have to go through some priest. I don't have to go through some rabbi. I don't have to go through any of those things. I can go right into the Holy of Holies and I can talk to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can go right to the Creator. Amen. And talk to Him. Amen. And as I mentioned before, there's times that we don't know what to do. There's times that we don't understand. There's times we just have problems. There's times we have situations that we need an answer now. There's times that we don't have a clue what to do. And I can go right in wherever I'm at. I don't even have to go to the temple and ask to talk to the Lord. I can be riding down the road. I can be in a situation in my home. An emergency can come during the night. I can go right in to the Holy of Holies and talk to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a benefit we have, church. That the early church did not, or that the Old Testament saints did not have. Can we grasp that, church? Praise God. The one that took us out of dirt, dust of the earth, and molded us and shaped us and then breathed life into us. Amen. I can go right to Him and talk to Him. Amen. Praise God. Don't have to go through people. Don't have to go through a chain of people. Amen. I can have a direct line to Him. Amen. You're going to have to excuse me a second here. I'm going to have to keep it lubricated. Amen. Praise God. You know, sometimes you go through people, a chain of people. In time it gets down three or four people, the story's done changed. Yeah. And everything about it's done changed. Right. Praise God. I ain't got to do that with God. Right. Amen. Right. Praise God. I can go right directly to Him. Right. And it don't matter. There can be a million people talking to God at the same time. Amen. And He hears my small plea. He hears my simple cry. You imagine across this world, I don't know how many people we have, the population of this world, but you imagine all the people in this world that are saints, that are talking to God. Somebody's going to be talking to God the same time you are. Amen. And it don't make no difference. The line's not busy. Amen. We can still talk to Him. Praise God. Amen. Now, some of you younger folks don't know about this, but I remember, and I'm sure a lot of you do, you know, you used to pick up the telephone and you'd hear somebody else's voice on it. Amen. You had that party line. Amen. And you'd have to put it back down. And you'd pick it back up and they're still talking. You'd have to put it back down. You had to wait for them to get off the line so you could go and talk to or make your phone call to who you needed to call. And if it was an emergency, you had to politely ask them, you know, this is an emergency. Can I have the line? You'd have to do that. I don't have to do any of that with God. Amen. Praise God. I ain't got to make sure I got the right chain to put in the phone. I ain't got to make sure nobody else is talking at the same time. Amen. I can go right in to the presence of our Lord and Savior and ask Him what, and tell Him about our problem. Amen. Praise God. So that's one benefit right there that we have. That we can go into the presence of God. You can't even do that with authorities of men today. Praise God. Our Lord and Savior, amen. He wants to commune with you. He wants to talk to you. Amen. He loves when His children come and ask of Him. Amen. He loves when His children are happy. Amen. Praise God. Any natural father is happy when their children are happy. And when their children are not happy, they're not happy. And I believe it's the same way with God. When His children are happy, He's happy. Amen. He don't want to see us sorrowful. He wants us to come to Him and let Him help us in time of trouble. So praise God. We have that straight access into the holies of holies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Down in verse 21, if you'll keep your Bibles, we're going to be looking at some scripture. In verse 21, He tells us that we have a high priest, and having a high priest over the house of God. Amen. We have a high priest over the house of God. Amen. I believe, now what's He talking about here? What benefit do we have in that? We have a high priest, He tells us. That high priest is Jesus Christ. And He's over the house of God. He is over the kingdom of God. He is over His church, the bride. He is over His house. Amen. And we have a high priest that is over us, that cares about us, that wants to love us, wants what's best for us, wants to do us good, amen, and not harm, amen. We also have a high priest that has been tempted in all points as we have been tempted. He knows what it's like, church, to go without. He knows what it is to be hungry. He was there and he fasted. He knows what it's like not to have a place to lay his head. He knows what it's like, church, to be hated by man. He knows what it's like to be persecuted by man. He knows what these things are like, church. And we have a high priest that knows exactly what it's like to go through the things that we go through.
Amen.
Glory to God. I believe that's one of the problems with politicians today. They don't understand what the common man has to face, amen, for his finances and things like that. They've got everything at their fingertips. They probably never had to pull up to a pump and pay the gas prices that they pay. They don't understand what it is to have to ration out their paycheck to pay the grocery bill and the light bill. And that, I believe that's why they're not in contact with the man. But we have a high priest that knows exactly what it's like. Amen. He knows exactly what you're feeling. He knows exactly. The Scripture tells us, if I'm putting out my words, He's been there before. Praise God. That's the high priest we have, church. Glory to God. So we have the benefits of going right in to the Holy of Holies. We have the benefits of having a high priest over us. That's in contact, that's in touch with us. That knows what we face, knows what we're going through. He knows what it is for Satan himself to come and tempt him. Praise God. He knows what it's like for those that one time said they love Him, and the next time they're crying out, crucify Him, crucify Him. He knows exactly what that's like, church. Praise God. So we have the boldness that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We have also the high priest. And Paul, maybe I won't say he jumps around, but let's back up to verse 20 there. He explains why we can enter into the presence of God, into the holiest of the Lord. And he also explains why we have a high priest over the house of God. And he explains that in verse 20. He says, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Why can we go to the presence of God? Why do we have a high priest over the house of God who cares about us? Because we have a new and living way. Praise God. Now you talk about new and living way. What do you mean by that? What's he talking about? And we know that in the Old Testament they had to sacrifice the lambs. They had to go through the rituals. They had to do everything just right in that sense. We don't have to go now and pick out a lamb and slay it. We don't have to have the different sacrifices or the different things that we did. And we don't have to have those things today. Now today we have a new. And since this word new, I know our translators use the word new, but the actual meaning of it is slain. We have a slain and living way. Praise God. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the one that was slain. And now He's still alive. Amen.
Amen.
This is still a living way. It's the slain. Christ died on the cross and He was slain for us. He took our sins upon Him. He took them to the cross. He died for us that we can have the boldness now to enter in, that He could be a high priest over us. It's a slain, but it's a living way. Praise God. Now it's a slain way, a new way, and a living way. This living way is more than just the sense that Jesus Christ is alive. Yes, He was slain. On the third day, He rose. Amen. early that Sabbath, first day of the week, those ladies, they went to that tomb early before the sun was coming up. And they went there. They wondered how they was going to get in to see Christ, His body, and to do the ointments and things. They wondered how they was going to roll away the stone. But when they got there, I don't know if they peeked over a hill and there was the tomb. I don't know. But when they got there, they was met by some angels. Amen. And they asked those angels asked them, you know, why are you here for? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not dead, amen. He's alive. Praise God. Our Jesus Christ is not in no grave. He's not in a tomb somewhere. His bones are not rotted away somewhere. No. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's alive. He's alive, amen. But it goes more than that. Of just being alive. A slain sacrifice that is alive. Amen. That's power right there. Praise God. That's a miracle right there in itself. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to experience that one day. Amen. That same Spirit that resurrected Christ is going to raise us. Amen. Praise God. But this way is a slain and a living way. That means it still works today. In a sense, it's still alive. This sacrifice that Christ did for us almost 2,000 years ago, it's not dead. In the sense that there's still blood at the cross of Calvary that men could go to and that their sins could be washed and made white as snow. It's still a living way, amen? It's still alive. In other words, if I could put it this way, the process is still alive. The man can still go to the cross and still be delivered and set free. Amen. A man can still go and have his sins washed away and then have access to the holies of holies and then have a high priest over them. That's a new way. Living way. Praise God. And in that, that lets us know that it's the only way. It's the only way. It's not broken. There's no need trying to fix it. And you're not going to fix it. You're not going to prove it. Amen? It's still going to take the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only way that you can get. His way is still alive and His way still works. And it's the only way that you can go to God. Now, people want to try every other way. They want to try every other route and every other routine. But that's not going to work. Paul is telling us here that this is a slain, a new way, and a living way. And this is the process that man has to go through. It's Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's not going to make another way for man. If they will refuse Christ, they will refuse the only way. There's only one access. There's only one door, he tells us. And he is that door to the sheepfold. Amen. There is only one way in. And he tells us that every other person that tries to climb in over into the kingdom of God is a thief and a robber. They're trying to steal salvation without going through the means of Christ. And it won't work. Amen. Praise God. So this way is a new and it's a living way. And he tells us which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. That day when they was crucifying Christ and they hung him on that cross. And his body was torn, ripped, beaten. And they came and they took the sword and pierced his side. Ripped his body open. It was the same time that they would have been in the temple making the sacrifice of that lamb, where that priest would have took that lamb and grabbed it and slit its throat, and done the things that he does in that Holy of Holies and goes in there before God. It was the same time. And everybody standing outside, watching and waiting, see what would happen. Is the priest going to come out alive? Is he going to be okay? Has he done everything just right? That same time of that day, Christ was hanging on that cross. And they took his body and they ripped it. They pierced it. Did all kinds of things to it. And I believe the blood ran out. The water and the blood ran out of the side. And ran down that cross. That man could have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And his body was ripped. His body was ripped, church. And at that same time, in that temple, that veil was rent in two. I believe, church, it literally ripped in two.
Amen.
I believe whoever was in there at that time saw that veil. Ripped in two. Man didn't do it. Josephus says it would take four yoke of oxen pulling against each other to tear it apart. Man didn't go in there and tear it apart. Man would have done. They would have dropped dead. Because they would have been in the presence of God. But now, because of the sacrifice that was placed on the cross for us, that veil was rent in two. And they, whoever was the first person, I don't know. But I bet they had a shock of their life when they was able to go right in there to a place that they had never been before. Praise God. I imagine a little fear gripped them when they saw that thing ripped open. They thought, am I going to fall down dead? What's going to happen? No. Praise God. Well, they was able to enter right in. Paul tells us this in Hebrews. That was his flesh. The veil, through the veil. And he tells us that is to say his flesh. Just as that veil was torn, Christ's flesh was torn. That we can have this privilege. That we can have this honor, church. And it's sad that men will take this privilege and this honor and they will reject it. They don't want it. They'll push it aside. They don't want anything to do with it. They'll try to push Christ out of everything. And men will reject it. How terrible that is. But what Paul goes on to tell us, let me move on in verse 22. I believe what Paul is now telling us, you have this privilege. You can go right into the holies. You can go right in and you can talk to our Creator. Amen. You have that privilege. You have a high priest. That it's there. He's over you. And I think what Paul would want to tell us here is don't reject that. Don't push that aside. But since you've got this privilege, do your part now. Draw close to Him. Do your part now and draw close to Him. He says, let us. Now, after Paul explains verse 19, 20, 21, I believe now what he's saying, now let us do our part. Christ did his part on the cross. The veil was rent. He's done everything he can for us. What more can a man do than lay down his life? He gave his all. And I believe Paul's telling us that Christ died. He did everything he can for us. Now let's do our part and let's draw near to him.
Amen.
And the question would be, why wouldn't you want to? Why would you want to sit in the church Sunday after Sunday, service after service, and not draw closer to God? Why would you want to sit there and be spiritually dead when you could have life and you could have joy and you could have peace? It's a mystery to me why you would want to do that. And Paul's saying, Christ has done everything. Let us draw near now to Him.
Yes.
And that's my point this evening. Again, let's draw closer to God. Let's draw closer to God. Let's love Him more. Let's cherish Him more. Let's have better communication with Him. Let's do everything we can on our part. Let's be strong in the Lord.
Yes.
Let us draw near to Him. Then he tells us how we've got to do this. It's more than just going before God with arrogance and just making your petition known. Well, I appreciate what you've done for me, God. That's kind of the attitude people have. Let's pull God off the shelf when we need Him. And when we don't need Him, everything's going good, we'll put Him back. And then when everything goes bad, we'll pull Him back out, make a puppet out of Him. No. Paul says that's not going to work. You're going to draw near to God and you're going to do it with some. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to do on your part. Verse 20 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart. This word talks about here, true hearts. Do it with sincerity. A true heart means that, you know, you're not just doing it with your body. People do that. They go to church. Their heart's not in it. They pay their tithes. Their heart's not in it. They give in missions. Their heart's not in it. They'll talk about the good things of God, and their heart's not in it. Their heart's not in it. And he's telling us what we must do is we must draw. If we are going to draw near to God, it's not just with the body. You cannot just read so much and draw closer to God. You cannot make so many sacrifices and say, this is going to draw me nearer to God. You cannot give so much and material things and say, this is going to draw me nearer to God. No, he's telling us it's got to be more than just with the body. It's got to be the desire of the heart. You've got to want to draw closer to God, and that's got to be the desire of the heart.
Hallelujah.
And as I mentioned, I believe it was Wednesday night, if the desire is not there, ask God to give it to you and to help you with it. There's no reason to stay in the same condition spiritually week after week.
Right.
Something's wrong. You've got to draw closer to God and do it with a sincere heart.
Right.
You say, well, I don't know what, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. Then I would take you right back to that verse I read and say, we've got a high priest who's been there.
Hallelujah.
And he knows exactly what you're going through.
Amen.
Just come before God with sincerity. Come for him with a true heart.
Amen.
Say, God, it's become a routine to me. I want it to be a fire burning in my heart. And just ask God to help you with it. Be sincere. Whatever you're struggling with, be honest with God. Draw closer to Him. You know, no relationship was ever going to work if there's secrets in that relationship. Now, you can keep a secret from your spouse and vice versa, you know, your children or whatever. But you can't keep it from God. He already knows that you're struggling. Why don't you just be honest and ask God to help you with it? He already knows you've got hatred or bitterness or whatever. If you've got anxiety, whatever it is in your heart, He already knows what it is. Just tell Him. He's saying, ask, tell me. Come closer to me. What do you do with your little children when they hurt themselves? You pull them up to you. You want to comfort them. If they cut themselves, they fall down, hurt themselves, whatever. You pull them up close to you. Back years ago when Noah broke his arm, I took him, I just held him. For about an hour. I didn't know, I wasn't sure if it was broke. I just wanted to talk to God about it. Just held him in my arms. He fell asleep. Because I believe that's just a parent who really loves his children. You're just going to pull them close to you when they're in pain or when they're hurting. And I believe God wants to do that to us. I believe His arms are open. He's just wanting us to come. When the pain's there, draw close to Him. When the suffering and persecution's there, draw close to Him.
Right. Yes.
And do it with a sincere heart. Amen?
Yes.
And then he tells us with a sincere heart or a true heart, do in a full assurance of faith. In other words, have an entire confidence. This assurance means to have an entire confidence in God. In God. We doubt God so much today, church. We doubt God. That's why a lot of times we won't take our problems to Him because we doubt Him.
Come on.
We don't really believe He's going to hear our prayer or that He really cares about us. It doesn't matter if it's the smallest thing or the biggest thing. He knows when a hair falls off your head. He knows when you're hungry or when you're being persecuted. Put your confidence in Him. Have a full assurance in God. Believe. Amen. That's that part of that veil being rent in two, that we can go right to Him. And He can pull us up close to Him. And I know everything's going to be all right. Because I'm drawn close to my Father. And I got full assurance. It may not be fixed today. The pain may not go away tomorrow. But I am confident in my Father. He's going to see me through it. He's going to see me through it. He's going to help me. Full assurance of faith. Whatever it may be. A burden for your lost loved one. Whatever you're going through, church. Take it to God. Take it to God. We don't have to fear. We don't have to doubt. That is not of God. That's of the devil. And when that fear is coming in, you got to get a hold of God and ask God to help you. And draw close to Him. When Satan starts telling you and bringing doubt in that mind, go to the Holy of Holies. Make your petition known and say, God, doubt's coming in. I need You to help me. And how many times we get up off that altar and it's still cloudy and it's still raining, but the sun's shining inside of us. And we know it's going to be okay. Amen. We know it's going to be okay. Let's draw close to God with sincerity. Let's do it with a complete confidence that God is going to help us. He's going to take us through. Church, I think things are going to get rough. Jesus tarries. And I believe that's... I was just praying this evening. I hope I'm not a broken record about drawing closer to God to you. And I don't say this braggingly, but I think God spoke to me and just told me we've got to get prepared. We've got to get prepared. And the weak is not going to make it. The weak is not going to make it. They can't even make it now. What are they going to do when the horsemen come? Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. And I don't say that with any kind of fear to you. I say that let's prepare for it.
Yes.
Every time we see a storm coming, we prepare. We turn the radio on, the TV. We listen to that weatherman. And we try to figure out exactly what's going to happen so we can prepare for it.
Right.
If you can't see the storm coming, you're blind spiritually. If you can't see this country going downhill, you're living in a cave or something. Praise God. Some homosexuality and all this stuff that's going on, God can't turn His head on it. Man's cursing God day after day. He's got to judge. Judgment's got to come. God can't turn His head on it. And the storm is coming. In Florida, we have thunderstorms in the afternoon. I was living there all the time. I don't know if it's just because of the humidity or what. If I kid you not, sometimes you can just about set your clock by 2-3 o'clock. You can see some of the darkest clouds coming. Sun's shining where you're at.
Yeah.
But I mean some of the darkest clouds, and you can hear the thunder in the distance. You know it's fixing to rain.
Yeah.
You know it's something's fixing to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And as it gets closer, you'll feel the wind. And then it'll start getting dark. And then it'll just like you just turn a bucket upside down, and you'll get an inch of rain and just a little bit. And then it'll be gone. Sun will come back out, and it'll be hot and humid again. And I believe that's what's going to happen, church.
Oh, yeah.
The storm is in the horizon.
That's right.
God wants to prepare us for it. Every time judgment comes to children of Israel, He sent a prophet, He sent a man of God to warn them, to tell them,
right,
to help prepare them,
yes,
for them to turn back to Him. And you say, well, we're doing good. I don't doubt that. But God can give us more.
Amen.
Amen. And He wants to prepare us.
Oh, yeah.
Turn to Him with a true heart. Complete assurance.
Yeah.
It don't matter how dark it gets in the distance. God will take care of His children.
Amen.
God will provide shelter for His children.
Yes,
amen. Praise God. Praise God. And that ought to bring peace to you. Amen. It brings peace to me. I don't know if I'm not preaching it right to you, but no, that just brings, thank God. I see it. You see it. Homosexuality's become something cool now. You know, they think it's cool. And it's ungodly. And God judge over it. And I just see ungodliness and things going on. You work in people's homes and stuff, doing work for them and stuff, and you just see so much ungodliness. You see so much that they're letting their children do. And you just want to try to warn them. You're going to reap this. You're going to regret this later if you don't do something about it now. And if we don't do something about it now, we're going to regret it later. Let's draw close to God. Have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. If Jesus Christ has come and He has saved you, if you have genuinely from your hearts asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you have truly repented from them and have turned from them and are trying to live according to God's words, you've got to accept that.
Yeah.
That God has done that.
Yes.
You've got to believe it. But a lot of times, you know, we start dwelling, that conscience starts dwelling on those things that we've done. You've got to get that evil conscience out of your mind, out of your life.
Right.
If Christ has forgiven you, He's forgiven you. He tells us, He says, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, get rid of that. Purify. God has cleansed you. He has washed you. Believe it. But how many times we sit there and we debate about it? We wonder about it. Well, I didn't see no lightning in the sky or nothing when it happened. If you genuinely asked, He said He will.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
He didn't say He was going to write stars and put stars in the sky or make things different like that. He said, if you'll ask, I will forgive.
Amen.
Believe it.
Yeah.
If you repented over it, go on. Amen. I know it's hard. You got to do this. This is what Paul says. Let us do these things.
Right.
And our bodies washed with pure water.
Yeah.
Dealing with wash, deals water, always deals with the Spirit. In the Old Testament, that priest, he had to scrub himself down. Had to make everything right. When God visited the children of Israel, you know, God said, you clean yourselves up.
Yeah.
I'm fixing to come and visit you. Get clean. And that priest, you know, you've seen doctors before they do surgery. I mean, they are there and they're just going and going and going at it. I mean, and they'll sit there with the water and the iodine or whatever, and they're scrubbing away. They don't want no speck, no spot of germ or anything on their hands. They're going to do everything they can to make it clean. Yeah. Then they put gloves over it. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. So he tells us here that we are to be washed. Our bodies are to be washed with a pure water, the Spirit of God. I believe it can go along with sanctification. And our bodies, that we ask God to forgive us of our sins. And we need to be delivered from the body of sin. That body that has the addictions and different things. It has to be set free. It has to be delivered from those things. You can't draw near to God if you still got things in that body that's hindering you. And it don't have to be drugs and alcohol. It could just be problems with your tongue or problems with this. Things you can do. Carnal things that you need to be delivered from. You've got to be set free from those things. Your bodies have got to be washed. You're not going to go into the presence of God with sin. It don't matter that veil's been rent in two and you have there's nothing blocking you in that sense as a veil or something, a material stopping you. But I'm telling you, when you go into the holies of holies and you go before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and you've got sin in your body, that's as far as you're going until you're cleansed of it. Until you make it right. And then you can go and you can draw closer to Him.
Yeah.
Then you can go and make your petition known.
But
when you get down and you pray, and you're praying about something, this is why a lot of people don't even pray, because they know there's something in their way.
Come on. Come on,
amen?
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they just try to avoid God until they're in trouble. And then, sometimes it's too late. But when you get to that place, and you're going into the presence of God, He's going to tell you, you need to go back and wash up a little more. If I can put it that way. Just as that priest had to scrub himself down.
Yeah.
He knew better than go in there with some dirt on his hands. In the presence of God. And how many times men think they can just go right into the presence of God with sin on their hands, filth of this world, and they can just go right into the presence of God and make their petition. I'm not talking about repentance. I'm talking about they can just go in there and ask God to help them with something, or God do this and stuff. And Paul's saying, no, if you're going to draw closer to God, you're going to wash yourself. You're going to let the Spirit cleanse you of your sins and those things that are not acceptable to God. And He's going to deal with you.
Yes.
Now, He's a merciful God. No doubt about it. He's been so merciful to all of us.
Amen.
Patience.
Yes.
Amen. But He's going to deal with you. And you can get up from there and go about your merry way. You're going to come back. And it's still there. He's still going to deal with you about it.
Yes.
Amen. And you can do this, I don't know how many times. God's merciful. That's up to Him. But you can keep on keeping going doing that. I'm telling you, you're just going to keep hitting that brick wall until you get yourself cleansed from this sin. You're not going to draw closer to God with sin in your heart. It's just that simple. You're going to have to cleanse yourself. You're going to have to get it out of your life. Praise God. Why do you want to hold on to it? It's a struggle. It's a warfare that's in your body all the time. In your mind. Why do you want to hold on to it? Get it off of your life. Get it out. Let Him cleanse you. Let the Spirit wash you. and get it out of your life that you can draw closer to God. You can't draw close to your spouse when there's been that fuss. When you're angry at each other or something. You've got to make it right. Then you can hug. Amen. And I believe God's there. He's not going to come for you. You've got sin in your life and you know it. He's going to tell you get rid of it. Amen. I'm kind of dwelling here a little bit, but praise God. I don't want nothing hindering me, church. There's a storm coming. And I don't want nothing hindering me. Praise God. Amen. Glory to His name. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession, or let us grab a hold. This word profession of our faith means, talks about, it means, actually means acknowledge what we have, the knowledge we have received. Let us hold fast to that. When you talk about holding fast to something, that just is not grabbing something with one hand and just taking it. That is mean you are hanging off a cliff and you're holding on to that rope with everything that's within you. You're not going to let that knowledge of God that you have slip out from under you. You're not going to let Satan pull it out of your hand, out of your heart. You're grabbing a hold of it and you're hanging on for dear life. So He tells us what we've got to do. Hold fast to what you know. Hold fast to what you have. Don't let it slip away. How many times people let the salvation slip away over a little pot of soup? Amen? Over a simple little pleasure of this world. We let the joy of the Lord, we let the comfort of God, we let Him slip out of our hands. And He's telling us, don't do this. Hold on to what you have. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. He says, but Christ, as the Son over His own house, whose house we are, that's us. Amen? If, that two little letter word, if, He'll be as He tells us, He'll be the Son over His own house. He will be that to us if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. That word again, confidence, deals with assurance. And He talks about holding fast. I wish I could describe it somehow in a way, but it's just grabbing hold of it with dear life. You know if you let go of it, you'll die.
Go ahead.
You're taking a hold of it with all your strength.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever worked and stuff and the cramps come in the arm or whatever, you're holding something up and you're just in pain. You're in pain. I was helping Daniel working on cars this afternoon. And I was holding something up. And I could only do it for so long. The pain was coming. Let me try a different way. Let me get up on top of the engine and reach down and try to hold up. And the pain was there. I mean, it was pain in my arm. Cramped up. He said, Daniel, you've got to hurry up. I can't do it much longer. And he's trying. Don't take me wrong. He's trying. It was tight. You know, it was just a hard situation. He's trying to get his hand up. I got to stop. Can't hold on no longer. I had to get it, something circulating again or something going again there. Try again. Pain would come. We finally got it. But I couldn't just let go just as soon as that little bit of pain in there. I had to hold on to it until I couldn't take it no more. And then I'd say, we got to stop.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. You're going to have some pain in life. You better hold on. But the good thing is that God is not going to put more on you than you can handle. The pain may be there. But you're going to have to tell God, say, God, I got to let go. I can't. It's too painful. No, be assured that He will not put more upon you than you can withstand. You can handle it. Don't let go. So hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. This word hope, expectation. Praise God. I think we had a little bit of that this evening when we were singing and stuff. We was rejoicing in hope. We was rejoicing. Our Lord is soon to come back to this earth. We was rejoicing in this. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Hold on to that till the end.
Yeah.
Don't let go.
Right.
Hold on to that hope to the end. Some pain, it may be some pain. But rejoice in hope. Praise God. My Lord is soon to come back. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. I need to hurry up here. Amen. Let me get back to Hebrews 10. I'm about to finish. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Wavering. Unstable. Could fall over at any time. Tossed to and fro. By every wind of doctrine, just not strong in the Lord. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. He says, hold on, hold fast. And he says, not to have any, don't doubt, in other words. Hold on your profession of your faith without wavering. Don't doubt God. You see the storm coming. God will take care of you. Just prepare for it and He'll see you through it. And the sun will come back out again. Amen. And one day that sun's going to shine forever and ever and ever. And you'll never have to see a storm coming. Amen. Praise God. But hold on to the end. Nothing waver. Why don't we have to... Why can we be strong? Why can we be assured? Why can we be steadfast? Because He is faithful that promise.
Hallelujah.
I preached on Sunday, one service in Fayetteville. I said, don't throw away your confidence that you have in the Lord. Scripture tells us that. All those times that God saw you through before, don't throw them away. Look at them. God brought you through that storm. He brought you through that storm. He brought you through that storm. And what happens? We face another storm and we fall all apart because we've thrown our confidence away in the Lord. He brought you through all those other storms. What's different about this one? It's nothing different to God. For He is faithful that promised. Amen. Let us consider one another. This is still drawing closer to God. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
Amen.
Consider one another, it means to observe fully. It's hard to pray for your brother or sister or whoever if you don't even hardly know they exist. Amen? You got to observe. Not to take it to other people with it, but that you see so-and-so is struggling. You can see it. You can tell. Every one of you can tell when somebody else is struggling spiritually. You can just see it. You know it. One thing about humans, we don't hide our feelings very good. Amen? Praise God. So we need to observe fully one another. When we see things that they are going through, things they are facing, you might have been there before. You might have been in this situation. And you can help them. You can encourage them. You can provoke them unto love and to good works. You can be an example to them. That's why a lot of times we go through things so we can help somebody else when they face that problem. Amen? I didn't know what it was like to lose my parents until it happened, church. Or to have to take care of my mother. Now when I see someone that does that, I have a better understanding of the sacrifice they have to make. Amen. But I had to go through that to see it. We got to observe people and the things they face and the things they go through. Then we can pray for them, that God can help them. But if we're so caught up with self, you're not going to do that. When you're so caught up with self, you're going to have eyes on self, and it's going to be, woe is me all the time, and you're not going to observe one another. And you're not even going to be able to pray for one another. Amen? You've got to know your family. Amen? You've got to know them and what they're going through and what they're facing, that you can take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help you. See, God, you don't have to know exactly every detail about their problem. God does.
Yes, He does.
And you can ask God to help you. Amen. Help them. Right. And God, if you've got a word for me to give to them, open the door and lay it on my heart. Yeah. That's all. You don't have to know details. You don't have to know every situation and every problem. But God can lay somebody on your heart to pray for them. You don't even know if there's anything wrong exactly or exactly what's wrong. God just put a burden on your heart. Amen? Do you have somebody on your heart? Are you burdened for somebody? Need to be. We need to be. He says, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works that you can pray. Ask God to help you on what to pray for. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
You got the Spirit of God. He directs us in prayer.
Yes, He does.
When we don't know what to pray, He'll pray for us. He'll help us.
Yes.
He can speak a lot of times. Praise God. I know I'm rambling on. But a lot of times we just go to prayer and it's always asking God, telling God what we need. Stop for a little bit. Let God talk to you. You've been in conversations with people, it's boom, 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 and they never stop. I had a I don't know if you call it a great aunt or a second aunt or whatever. My uncle, she talks. You call her on the phone and it's just talk, 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 talk. He had to go to the bathroom. He set the phone down, went to the bathroom, come back, and she was still talking. It's nonstop. Never missed him. And we do that with God. Amen?
Come on, brother.
We do that with God.
Yeah.
Stop a little bit. Meditate on Him a little bit. And let Him talk to you. He'll do it. He wants to talk to you so bad. He wants to talk to your heart so bad. Amen. I remember when Brother Woods went to Africa. And he never been there. I know Brother Power sent pictures and different things. You know, you just don't never know exactly what you're going to get into. Amen. You just don't know exactly what you're going to face. I don't want to say this braggingly, but I was praying. I was here at the church praying the day he left. I said, God, keep him and watch over him. Make it a fruitful trip. And I believe the Lord stopped me in my prayers right here where Daniel's sitting. And I don't say this bragging. I just want to tell you to encourage you. God stopped me and said, you need to stop praying for him and pray for his family that's left here. And that spoke to my heart. Because I know there's a wife and four daughters. But their dad is I don't know how many thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
And they just can't get on the cell phone. They don't know what he's doing. I mean, while he's laboring, they're in bed, time change and stuff. And God spoke to me, what about them? They're making the sacrifice too.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. They're the ones that's gone. Their dad's gone. And his time will probably go by quick because he's going to be nonstop. Back and forth, preaching and going and traveling and everything and seeing new sights. And the ones left here stuck at home, they're the ones that got to hold down the fort and they're missing part of their body.
Right.
God will speak to you, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yes.
Stop a little bit. Let God speak to you. Amen?
Amen.
I say that with all humility. God wants to talk to us Ask Him, Lord, how do I need to pray about this? What would I say? Praise God. I'm still talking about drawing closer to God. Amen. I'm going to close with verse 25. Forsake ye not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can all of you say that you see the day approaching? Again, if you don't, you've got to get your head out of the sand.
That's right.
The day is approaching.
Yes.
He tells us, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
As the manner of some is. So that tells me, obviously, when Paul was writing this letter to this people, that people were laying out. Obviously, some were laying out. Because he said, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So I believe he was encouraging them. You need to get together. You need to get together with the assembly of the body of believers. You've got to be together with each other. You've got to have the strength of each other. The day is approaching. The time is coming that you'll need each other. It's not a time to lay out church. Now, I want to be very plain. It's not a time to miss the assembling of ourselves together. The day is approaching.
Amen.
I believe this is a complete warning sign to us. The day is approaching. You need to be in the house of God with the other saints.
Amen.
A lot of times, I understand, circumstances stop us a lot of times. I understand that. There is times circumstances stop us. And a lot of times it depends on how mature you, spiritually mature you are, how big or how small the circumstances is that stops you. If that makes sense. I understand circumstances at times will stop you. But if desire is stopping you, then you got to get a hold of God. If desire is stopping you from gathering together, you better get a hold of God, because you're not going to stand when that day approaches. You're not going to make it. And he tells us, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another. It's more than just gathering together, it's exhorting one another. To me, that's why a lot of times we testify. We're exhorting each other. God blessed me today. God was with me. I had this problem. He saw me through it. And I'm telling you, if God will see so-and-so through it, He'll see me through it. And I'm being exhorted. I'm being strengthened. We gather together. We exhort one another with God's words. Amen. We declare. We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. God's Word is taught to us and we can be stronger. We have fellowship together. We strengthen each other. Because the day is approaching, church. The day is approaching. If desire is hindering you, do something about it. Amen. And God knows that. Circumstances may come. But if desire is lacking, you're not going to come. You say, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. I don't like what they've done. You can come up with all kinds of Satan. He'll never run out of excuses for you. He'll never run out of excuses for you. He can keep on feeding them to you. You say, well, there's this problem. Well, then why don't you come to the church and help take care of that problem? Why don't you come and pray? Why don't you come and pray? You don't like your pastors and the way they're preaching? Then why don't you come and pray for them? Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. I'll take the prayer of saints any day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. I want to be a better preacher. Amen? Amen. Pray for us. You don't like the way me and Brother Al teach us? Then pray for us.
Right,
staying at home ain't going to accomplish it.
Right.
What you done there? You've killed yourselves, what you done.
Yeah.
Amen. Let us draw near, church. Let us draw near. we have such great privileges in God. Amen. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I'm going to draw closer to Him. I've got benefits from my Lord. I'm going to take them. And I'm going to draw closer to Him. I'm going to use them. Amen. I'm not going to reject what my Lord and Savior has given to me. I'm going to use them. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand this evening. Amen. Glory to God. I thank You for Your patience. I know we work and we're laboring. I know you're tired. I understand that. I'm there with you. If I can just say one thing, church, the storm is on the horizon. Let's draw closer to Him. Let's draw closer to Him. Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us, O God. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your blessings, God, and the benefits, Lord. God, that You have given to us, Lord. God, let's take these benefits, Lord, and let us draw closer to You, God. Let us draw nigh to You, Lord Jesus, and let us do it in an appropriate way, oh God. God, let's let nothing stand in the way, Lord Jesus, from drawing closer to You, Lord, but let's be cleansed, let's be sanctified, let's be washed by the Spirit of God, and let us draw closer to You, Lord, that we can be prepared for the storm, that we can be prepared for what the future holds, oh God, and that we can be strong, Lord Jesus, and we can be strong in You, Lord. Help us, God. God, I pray, Lord. I pray, God, that we not let things stand in our way from gathering together as saints, as a body of believers, Lord. But, oh God, I pray, Lord, but we would pray. We would provoke one another to love, oh God, and not anger, Lord. God, that we would be used, oh God. God, that You would speak to us, Lord, on how to pray for each other. God, on what the Word to say, Lord. God, that You would direct us in all things, Lord. I pray, God, help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. God, I want more of You. I want more of You, Lord. And I pray, God, You'll give it to us, Lord. You will not hold any good thing from us, Lord. And I pray, God, help us to receive it, Lord. And faith, oh God. Nothing wavering, Lord. And standing true to Your promises. God, I thank You, Jesus. God, I thank You, Lord, for helping us, Lord. God, helping us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. I pray, Lord, You be with us. God, be with us Sunday, Lord. Rest this week, God. God, help us come to church, Lord, with a desire in our hearts to be together with each other and to be in Your presence, Lord. God, if we don't have that desire, help us to pray. Help us to pray, Lord, and get a hold of it, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise God. God, I'm so excited and so looking forward to what You're going to do for us, Lord. God, just help us to do our part, Lord. Help us to do our part, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Strengthen those who are sick in body, Lord. God, they're still in the mend, Lord. Give them strength. God, I pray, Lord, You'd give Brother Woods a fruitful week, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, give them fruit there, Lord, as they minister and they labor, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, let the power of God fall in their presence, Lord. I pray, God, that the powers of darkness would be rebuked, Lord. Oh, God. I pray, God, that You would save somebody, Lord. God, save somebody in that cartel, Lord, and all that wickedness of gangs and stuff. I pray, God, that one of those men be saved, oh God. God, that he could go back and testify, Lord, what God has done for him, oh God, and deliver them. Lord Jesus. God, help us, Lord, to believe. And have great faith, Lord. God, not just expect the crumbs, Lord, but expect great things, Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen.